We come to Ephesians chapter 6, the last portion, apart from some parting remarks that the Apostle Paul has for the Ephesians in closing this letter to them. We have this very, very important portion regarding the armor of God, regarding the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. Paul says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle is not physical. Our battle is spiritual. We wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And that battle is a real battle for every Christian. We may not acknowledge that there is that battle. We may not recognize the reality of that battle, but it's always there. It's always there. Paul says that we need to be aware of the spiritual battle that we're engaged in, and we need to prepare for that battle. That battle is unceasing. It's incessant. That battle goes on every single day of our Christian lives. And the Apostle Paul gives us instructions on how to protect ourselves in that battle and how to persist in triumphing in that spiritual battle. As is usual with God's provisions, He has made every provision for us to win the battles of life, to triumph in the spiritual battles, not to be defeated, not to be discouraged, but to triumph, to live above those things that would normally defeat us. And He's given us very specific instructions here about what it means to be strong in the Lord. And so here's one final and critical issue for us as those who belong to Him. The idea here is to clothe oneself with spiritual strength and spiritual protection as one puts on a critical garment every day. Paul says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be continually strengthened in the Lord." The word "finally" takes us back to the whole epistle, to the whole letter. He says, "I told you that you have all of these infinite spiritual blessings in Christ. I have told you how the Christian life operates, how it works, and how to enjoy those blessings. Now, finally, one more critical instruction. I want you to understand the spiritual battle that you're in and the provisions that God has made for us to be strong." So there's direction given to us. There's teaching. There's critical doctrine here about how to protect ourselves and how to prevail in the spiritual battle that we face. So Paul says, "Finally, my brethren," in Ephesians 6:10, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because that is true, because that is so real, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And then he asks them to watch in prayer on his behalf. Pray for him and his ministry and those things that he encounters in his life. So this is a conclusion based on the foundation that Paul has built in the book of Romans and in the book of Ephesians and the structure that he has built there. So let's look at some of the things this means and does not mean. First of all, being strong in the Lord has nothing to do with personality. This is not about the type of personality you have, and it has nothing to do with self-determination. This is not about the resources that you bring to the Christian life. We have the tendency to think that there are people that are just naturally stronger. That's not true. It's absolutely not true. There are people that are naturally drawn to fight the spiritual battles better than others. Not true. The provisions are all equal. They're all given equally to every single Christian. Being strong in the Lord has nothing to do with the human resources that you yourself possess, because that's not what this spiritual battle is at all. It's not about that. This does not merely say be strong. It emphasizes that the strength here referred to is a supernatural strength. It is a provision that comes from God himself and is only available from God. Notice that he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong. It doesn't end there. In the Lord. And in the power, not of your might, but his might. His power. And so it has everything to do with his power, his provision for us to live the Christian life in a whole different dimension. And this is why, parenthetically, why emotional appeals don't work. Appealing to the emotions of individuals to make emotional decisions about the Christian life, they don't work and they don't last. Because this is not about emotion, this is about your will and God's provision. And so, it is not be strong in yourself, it is be strong in the Lord. It is not be strong in the power of your personality or the power of your determination. It's the power of his might. It is the armor of God. Notice in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. This is God's provision for the Christian. And it's God's provision, thirdly, it is God's provision for every Christian, every single Christian. It is his power, it is his might, it is power that is inherent in God. And so it's not literally be strong in the resources that you have, but be strengthened in the armor that God provides. And so being strong is God's provision for every Christian. And not to be strong is to be out of the will of God. We wonder about the will of God and knowing the will of God. The problem is not so much with what we don't know about the will of God. It's the problem we have is what we know about the will of God and don't do it. This is the will of God for every Christian, that we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul warns in Ephesians chapter 4, be careful that you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Be careful. Be strong. He says, finally, be strong. Because there are forces of evil that will come and attack. There are doctrines that will try to seduce you into believing things that are not true and that do not apply to us today. And the forces are strong. We have the capacity, the capability given to us by God to stand and to be strong. And that's God's appeal through the Apostle Paul for every Christian. It is not the development of our physical muscles. It is not being in physical shape. It's taking what God has provided and appropriating that by faith. And by the way, this is spoken to Christians. It is not spoken to unbelievers. We need to keep that in mind as we look at every component, every part of the armor of God. So when Paul says, put on the helmet of salvation, he's speaking to Christians. He's not saying, make sure that you get saved all over again. He's speaking to Christians. So these parts of the armor apply to those who are in Christ already. And by the way, the Apostle Paul gives us some action verbs that demonstrates the fact that it is our responsibility to respond to his instruction. It is our responsibility to be something and to do something. This is, of course, based on the position that we have in Christ, but doesn't come to us as a blessing that is automatic. In other words, when we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. He seals us. That happens automatically. That's something that God does totally apart from our asking him or doing anything about receiving the Holy Spirit. That comes to us when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him alone and exclusively for our salvation. God does a number of things. He provides us with infinite spiritual blessings. We receive forgiveness of sins. We are set free from the law. We receive the gift of eternal life. We are assured of a permanent destiny and sealed to that destiny by the Holy Spirit. Many things that take place the instant that we believe, the moment that we are saved. This is not like that. It's based upon what we've received, but this is a call for you and for me to take action. This is something that we are responsible for as members of the body of Christ. And so there are action verbs that the Apostle Paul gives to us that you and I need to be responsive to and that we are responsible to implement and apply to our lives. So first in verse 10, he says, be strong. Be strong. That's our responsibility. That's the way Paul puts it. You need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In verse 11, he tells us another action. Put on the whole armor of God. Actions that he expects us to take. And then he says that we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is the most exhausting of all competitions, of all encounters. It's wrestling. We're wrestling. And we are engaged in that battle. And Paul says we need to wrestle to victory. And then he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. You do it. You're responsible for that. You are responsible for withstanding in the evil day. That means that we are to resist when Satan comes and he uses cunning devices and attacks to seduce us away from the truth and to defeat us. We are to withstand. Then Paul says several times that we need to stand. Stand, therefore. We need to be, he says, girt about with truth. that takes responsibility and action. And he talks about the fact that we need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are verbs. And then he says, taking, again, in verse 16, he says that we need to take something, again in verse 11. And then he says, praying. It's part of the process of being strong. And he talks about watching. I trust that we will get the impetus of what Paul expects us to do. These are actions that he's calling us to take. It's all about our responsibility in the spiritual battle that we're involved in. And so that demonstrates that being strong in the Lord requires our active participation. Being strong in the Lord requires that we put on the whole armor. Notice in a couple of places where the Apostle Paul says in verse 11, put on the whole armor. You are unprotected if you think that you can take part of it and ignore other parts of it. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Because that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And in verse 11, where it says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and the clear statement there has to do with all the wiles of the devil. Wiles are Satan's deceit, Satan's trickery, Satan's craftiness. He lies in wait to deceive, Ephesians 4:14. Lying in wait to deceive. He's just looking for a kink in the armor. He is just looking for an opportunity to deceive you and me. He's just looking for an area to defeat us. He's constantly looking. If he can weaken you as a Christian, if he can get you to forsake sound doctrine, if he can seduce you, he has succeeded. Can't take away your salvation. He can try and get you to doubt it, but he can't take it away from you. He can get you to not enjoy the full blessing of living the Christian life in the fullness of God's provisions. And Satan is a formidable enemy. But no worries. You need not be afraid of him, because God has made provisions for us to be able to stand and to be strong when his wiles, his craftiness, his trickery comes against you. There is protection, and the protection is in the whole armor of God, every part of the armor of God. We wrestle against him. It's a contest between two in which each endeavors to overthrow the other. Wrestling. And which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. He said, we wrestle, but we have victory. We can win the battles of life. The war has already been won. That's the basis upon which to fight every battle. But make no mistake about it, we need to be active in it, not passive. We need to fully engage in it, because it won't just happen if we ignore it. And that's why all of these instructions, all of these verbs, all of this action that we need to take. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll get back to Ephesians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we get another glimpse at this battle. Paul says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, though we walk in these bodies, the battles that we encounter are not after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. This is not battle that we encounter in the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What weapons? Well, the weapons of Ephesians chapter 6. Those are the weapons. That's the armor, the whole armor of God. The entire armor is described in Ephesians chapter 6. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's good because our war is not fleshly. But they're mighty through God, being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That has to do with the destruction of fortresses. And Satan erects fortresses. But we are mighty through God to the destruction of those fortresses. Great victory, isn't it? It's a wonderful victory that he has provided. Then he goes into more detail in verse 5. Casting down imaginations. That's where the battles are fought. It's in the mind. The things that you think about. It's all about what you put in there. What you equip your mind with. Because the mind dictates what you do, what you believe, how you act. Casting down imaginations, vain imaginations, bad reasonings, wrong doctrine, which is hostile to God. We need to cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's active participation in this battle. We need to destroy these fortresses. We need to fight against them. And there are weapons that God has given us to fight against them. These weapons are mighty through God to the actual destruction of these fortresses that arise. So we are to cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are things that will seek to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God. We need to cast those things down. You do that with truth and faith and every part of the armor. And we need to, while we're destroying these fortresses, while we're actively aggressively taking down these imaginations, we are also to bring into captivity, captive, every thought, captive to do one thing, to the obedience of Christ. Obedience of Christ. That's the reality of the battle. That's the fact that we face every single day. You and I face it constantly. And the question is, how are we going to face these vain imaginations that seek to rise up against us? How are we going to face these wiles that Satan thrusts against his craftiness and bad reasonings? How are we going to gain victory over that? It's by standing, being strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and taking every part of the armor actively, consciously, and aggressively, and using it to win this battle. So, finally, Paul says, make sure that you be strong in the Lord. And we need to understand certain things as we look at this battle. We need to understand that in Adam, man is completely lost and totally depraved. And man is deserving of God's judgment. The basic truth that we learned in the book of Romans. And that justification is only possible through the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3. Salvation is only possible by grace through faith. That's the foundation that we build upon. Understanding what was true of us in Adam and now what is true of us in Christ. That's the foundation. Something new has happened. We are new creations in Christ. Everything is new. But we will face battles. This is the picture of a soldier and a wrestler. Those are the two pictures here in Ephesians chapter 6. Interesting, the Greek wrestling, which Paul was familiar with, ended with the eyes of the loser being gouged out. Total defeat. It is a severe battle with lifetime consequences. You do not put this on once and for all and keep it on permanently. No, this is something that happens moment by moment by moment by moment. Even as Paul says to us in verse 18 of chapter 5, be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is being filled. Continue to be filled on an ongoing basis, moment by moment by moment. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And moment by moment by moment, make sure that you have all parts of the armor consciously as your practical daily moment by moment provision and protection. And so we have to have our loins girded with truth, live life in the sphere of truth, were to put on the breastplate of righteousness, were to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, were to take unto ourselves the shield of faith that we might quench all the fiery darts of the devil, were to put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there you have the parts of the armor as described in Ephesians chapter 6. And so the word of God is critical, and the teaching of God's word is absolutely essential in understanding these parts of the armor. So it's important for us to know that the spiritual battle that is raged against every Christian. You cannot be strong in the Lord. Understand this. This is critical. You cannot be strong in the Lord unless we're clear on some doctrinal issues, because if we're not, then you have kinks in the armor. Then you have problems with truth and faith and so forth. We are to understand that man is totally lost and deserving of God's judgment. As I mentioned earlier, justification is only possible through the redemption and propitiation of Christ. Salvation is only possible by grace through faith, not of ourselves. What was true of us in Adam and what is true of us in Christ, the provisions that God has made for us in Christ. Now we need to be clear on things like where Israel and the body of Christ fit into God's program. That is critical, because we will have weaknesses, we will have kinks in the armor, unless we understand the clear distinction between God's program with the nation of Israel and God's program with the church, the body of Christ. We will be spiritually weak and open ourselves to Satan's wiles and craftiness and reasonings when we take doctrine that is not taught, that is not for or about the body of Christ, and there is a spiritual weakness that comes automatically from not understanding clearly the clear distinction between God's dealings with the nation of Israel. It is different than the way he's dealing with us today. The only way that we can stand and be strong, if we stand on solid ground, on the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery and not according to prophecy and seeing those clear distinctions. That is prevalent in the church that is lost, tragically lost, to the weakening of members of the body of Christ. We need to understand the totality and completeness of God's blessings in Christ. God is not blessing us with new blessings. He has already given us all spiritual blessings and all the provisions that we need in order to live the Christian life today. With all of the battles, all of the difficulties that we encounter, God has made infinite and complete provision for us. We've been made alive in Christ. We've been raised up together with Christ. We've been seated together in heavenly places with Christ. We are trophies of His grace. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we have eternal security given to us by God. We're not wrestling in order to keep our salvation. We're not battling in order to stay saved. Salvation is once and for all. It is permanent and it has everything to do with what God, through Christ, has accomplished for us, not what you and I have accomplished for Him. The completeness and totality of God's blessings in Christ. We need to be clear on the difference between what happens in time past and what happens in what Paul calls but now. There are things that God has been doing or did for the nation of Israel that He's not doing today on behalf of the body of Christ. And there are things that are true of us in Christ that were not true of Israel under the prophetic program. We need to be clear on that. And then we need to be clear on Paul's unique apostleship and the revelation of the mystery. There is new revelation that was given carefully with tremendous detail, deliberately, to the Apostle Paul for this dispensation of the grace of God. And that doctrine is critical to the soundness and health of our spiritual life and spiritual battles. We need to be very clear on the uniqueness of Paul's apostleship and the revelation of the mystery. And then how to apply the truths of the book of Romans and Ephesians to the details of daily living. And that's what Paul devotes so much time to in Romans 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and in Ephesians chapters 4, 5, and 6, where he gives us the actual application of all of this truth. Now in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's a choice that we make, and it's deliberate. We need to apply every single part of the armor of God. So Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he talks about our wrestling. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And then in verse 14, he starts with each part of the armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. With truth. Truth is critical. The truth is a critical component of the armor of God. Let's look at a few verses in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Where Paul speaks about the perfection of the revelation that comes in the completed Word of God and the importance of love. And he talks about love rejoicing in the truth. the joy that comes and that should come and that naturally comes when we are engaged with God. There's this rejoicing when we hear sound doctrine. Some people in the church, as we've been warned by the Apostle Paul, will not endure sound doctrine. The day has come when there's little endurance for sound doctrine. There's an attack on sound doctrine. When you hear the truth, it should bring great joy to our hearts and minds to know the truth, to get it, to understand it, and to see what God has provided for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We are not here, Paul says, to get so-called results with any means. There's clarity around the process. There's clarity about the approach. There's clarity around the limitations of the sound truth that is being proclaimed. And Paul says, look, we have renounced certain things. We are not going to deal with people dishonestly. We're going to face the truth head on and deal with it that way. We do not walk in craftiness, nor handle the word of God deceitfully. And that is a danger for Christians. Handling the word of God deceitfully. Trying to minimize the directness of what the word of God says. Never do that. You're doing a disservice to the word of God. You're doing a disservice to the person listening to you. It always needs to be clear and concise. That's the power of the Word of God. We do not handle the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. How do you not handle the Word of God deceitfully? By proclaiming it truthfully. Manifestation of the truth. All right, so that's putting on, girding your loins with truth. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. One of the problems the Galatians had is that they departed from the truth that they once knew. And speaking about verse 5, false brethren that came in unawares, they sneaked in, who came in privately, secretly, under the radar, to spy out our liberty, to bring untruth to the church, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. There's Satan's wiles. There is his craftiness. There is his wrong reasoning coming in to take away and deprive us of the freedom and liberty that we have in the truth of God and the truth of our position. Injecting scripture that is misapplied, saying you need to keep the law. You need to be circumcised. And that robs Christians of the truth and of the freedom and liberty that has been provided for us. And it brings bondage. Paul is speaking to Christians. And then he says in verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. We did not have any tolerance for wrong doctrine. We did not tolerate this for a second. Why? Because if we did, the truth of the gospel would not continue with you. And he said, we didn't tolerate untruth, not for a second, as we say today, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And it wasn't with the Galatians. The Galatians had been bewitched. They had been deceived by the wiles of the devil. Satan threw his darts, and they let them through. And they did great damage because they didn't rise up and be girded about with truth. And they didn't raise up the shield of faith. Faith in God's truth, so that they could reject and quench those fiery darts. They accepted it. They did not have the whole armor of God on to their own destruction. So that Paul says in chapter 3, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has hypnotized you into believing something that is not true, that you should not obey the truth? We must have our loins girded about with truth. Verse 14, he said, but when I saw in chapter 2 of Galatians, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, not as do the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You have not girded your loins about with truth. You have set that down and accepted the pressure and the wiles and schemes of false teachers that come in to the Galatians, to the people there, and rob them of their freedom and liberty by introducing untruth, biblical truth that didn't apply to them, becomes untruth for the body of Christ. The Jews needed to be circumcised, not the body of Christ. The Jew needed to obey and follow the commandments of the law, not the body of Christ. Cannot introduce that untruth. And that's why we need to understand what God is doing today and not doing today if we are going to stand and be strong in the Lord. Chapter 4 of Galatians. Chapter 4 of Galatians and verse 16. Paul says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul spoke the truth boldly. I mean, he called them some names. He called it what it was. He was blunt with them. He was honest with them. He was open with them, and he was biblical with them. He said, you have allowed these false teachers with their false teaching to come in and seduce you and bewitch you, to hypnotize you. Shame on you. You knew better. You have set aside the truth. And the Galatians were not girded about with truth. And then chapter 5 of Galatians and verse 7, Paul says, you did run well. You did run well. There was a time when you were doing well. You understood grace. You understood that you're no longer on law ground. You ran well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Part of having our loins girded about with truth has to do with understanding truth as Paul gives it to the body of Christ, and sticking with the truth and holding on to the truth and not setting it aside. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. In verse 14, he says that, you know, we're no longer to be like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That same language as Ephesians chapter 6 about the approach that Satan takes to deceive us and to draw us away from the truth. But speaking the truth in love. The only way to grow up spiritually and to be strong and to stand when attacked is to speak the truth in love, and that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We cannot be indecisive about the truth that we believe. We cannot be careless or flippant about the truth that we believe. It is critical to standing and to being strong and to being protected by God. Verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth. Truth is critical. Truth must stand. Truth must be held on to if we're to have the whole armor of God on and girding our loins with truth. Verse 9 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. One more verse about girding our loins with truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 15, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself. He's writing to this young shepherd of the assembly, this pastor. He says, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The issue in the church today is the truth. It's not primarily a social network. It is standing for and promoting and propagating the truth. That is the essential ingredient and component of why God's church meets together. The church is the pillar, the ground, the support of truth. When truth falls, you have nothing else left. When truth falls, you may enjoy the social activities of gathering together, but you don't have a solid foundation upon which to build. You don't have what it takes to live the Christian life. It has to do with truth. We understand that there's an intolerance for truth. There is a boredom with truth. But the bottom line is why the church exists. It is God's design for the promotion and propagation and establishment of the truth as revealed to us by God through the Apostle Paul, written specifically to the church and about the church. You forsake that, you don't have a true church. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. We have to have our loins girded about with truth. It's the only way to be strong. And it's the only way to withstand in evil days when Satan attacks the truth. We need to be firm and strong in God's truth, as revealed to us in the mystery, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The next piece of armor that we are to put on is what Paul calls the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. In the book of Romans, we have the establishing of the fact that God has declared sinners righteous and that we are to live righteously, and that we are to present the members of our bodies as instruments of righteousness unto God. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Having established in the book of Romans that God has given to us a righteousness that we did not have, because our righteousness is rejected by God, it is of a kind and a sort that does not gain acceptance with God. God has given us His righteousness, and now it is our responsibility, verse 13, not to yield the members of our bodies as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but we are to yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That is the exhortation. That is the armor that you and I need to put on, the breastplate of righteousness, the application practically of the righteousness that has been given to us by God. It's a choice we make when faced with the temptations of sin. To whom will we yield the members of our bodies? Starting with the mind, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ, presenting, yielding the members of our bodies as instruments of righteousness to God. That is a deliberate act of the will. That's what God, through the Apostle Paul, is urging us with all urgency to do because of this battle that we're faced with. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 6, know ye not? Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? You have the choice whom you will serve. Whether sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Positionally, that's already been accomplished. We've been made free from sin. We've become the servants of righteousness by nature. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, resulting in more iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. When faced with the possibility of unrighteousness, choose righteousness. When faced with the possibility of engaging in sin, engage in righteousness. We have that power. But it's being strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Be strong in the power of His might, not your might. So God has given to us the whole armor of God. We've only looked at the first component, girding our loins with truth, and then the second one, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Because if we do not, then Satan with his wiles and fiery darts will attack, they will get through. But it's our choice. It's our decision. It's what we need to do. And by faith, we appropriate these parts of the armor because we see it and understand it and hear it in God's word. We say, yeah, I agree with that. And that's our response in the time of battle.